Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can have peace in the midst of a troubled world as we put our faith, hope, and trust in the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Christ. We see that which troubles us in this world, and we ask for your help, Heavenly Father, that we may faithfully follow your guidance and direction. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are troubles all over. Troubles in our nation and elsewhere. Oh, like in Venezuela, where gasoline is just up to $2 per gallon. Well, that's a trouble for that nation. I'll talk about that in a minute. And yes, there are troubles near us in our very life, and there are troubles far away all over the world. It gets pretty serious when you realize how everywhere people are, they might even be beaten down and killed, not because they are a threat, but just because they have a different belief system. That's all over the world. And America used to be a different place, where it was all right to have a different belief. And it was all right, as long as you did not violate someone else's rights. But today, the word tolerance has taken on a different meaning than it ever has in the past. So very often, when it is said that you must tolerate another belief system, it has come to mean that you must demonstrate support for that other belief system. With the breakdown of the definition of words comes the breakdown of language. And language just might be the most important bond of any society or culture. Language is right along with the fundamental values that our society or our culture holds. And in days in the past, we held values which were based on our Bible. But there are so many people who do not even know if there is a God. I wonder how this trend began. I think it was about 1962. It started when prayer was removed from public schools. Nowadays, so many people put themselves in the place of God, saying that whatever pleases them at that moment is their most important and urgent value or need. I look at the worship of power all around and the worship of money. And if you go to the next level, there is a certain worship of the control of people, and that takes many forms. Well, it can even be right in a household, like how many domestic helpers do you have to hire in your household to keep it going? Or it might be how many people are in your club or your company or your division. Or I guess the idea is, how many people do you have under your control? And so that is one of the things that people use to measure power? Oh, and are you the president of a country or a military dictator or the head of a military group? Well, at least these have some basis in a legitimate authority, but other people have other views of the source of power. Like, if you are in a secret group, are you in a coven of witches or a secret order of the Illuminati? Or what about those people who work towards the destruction of all sorts of things, organized of our society? Do they feel that they are in a position of power over other people when they print propaganda and purchase bricks or water bottles or provide the travel for people or the communications to those who are rioting today? Why, in a sense, those are power groups also. So you just have to wonder about power. I do. And I think of Ephesians 6:12. 6:12, that talks about power. I'm going to read, starting at Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins gird about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all having the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. And by the way, I will pray for you also, that you may be able to open your mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Is the gospel a mystery? Well, for those who do not know the gospel, it is a mystery. But for we who know it, it is not a mystery. We know those basic things. We know that there is a God. We know there is Jesus who died for our sins. And when we accept his gift of forgiveness, we are forgiven. We must confess to him our sins, and we change our ways to sin no more, and we become born again in the Spirit, and we are a new creature with a new heart in Christ Jesus. As it happens out of love, that love for what he has done for us, that we want to love and obey his commandments. It is so wonderful to have heaven as our eternal destiny and not that other place, you know, hell. So, oh my. I went a little ways from my thought about power, and I read one of my favorite Bible passages to you. Oh, let me see. A minute ago, I wanted to say something about Venezuela, and I wanted to say that as an example of what can happen when the powers that be take over and they have power over us regular citizens. Now, in Venezuela, the dictator of that country, just like a week ago, he changed the price of gasoline because there had been an embargo on gasoline to that country, and therefore there were shortages everywhere in Venezuela. And so what they did was they bought gas from Iran. And so now the people have to pay an increased price for gasoline. And the price went from 5 cents a gallon to $2 a gallon. From 5 cents a gallon, because it was subsidized by the government, to $2 per gallon, because they had to buy gasoline on the open market from Iran. So this shocked that nation of Venezuela. So shocking. You see, in Venezuela, the price of everything is controlled by the government. It is not a free market. Everything is controlled. And there was a lawyer in Venezuela. You know, lawyers, when we think of lawyers in this country, we think of some highly paid professional. But it's not that way in a controlled economy, a controlled country like Venezuela. Well, he was shocked at that price going from 5 cents to $2 per gallon for gasoline, and he said he could not afford this. How could he afford this when his monthly wage was only $10 per month? $10 a month in Venezuela? Yeah, that's how it goes in a controlled economy. And we can be thankful that we in the United States of America have a capitalist system of economics. So, $10 a month for an attorney. Wow. How do people even make it? How do they survive in Venezuela when the people are paid, in a sense, almost nothing? Well, except the government officials and the military, they are paid very, very well. Government officials and the military do not struggle. And that keeps the military and the government officials. And the military means the police in those countries that have a dictatorship. That's just the way it works. Well, the dictator needs to keep the government and the military loyal. So those people are very well paid. But the rest of the country suffers. And they suffer so much that maybe if you listen to some of the news, you will hear that the Venezuelan people lost on average 30 pounds of body weight in the last couple of years. That's because there's not enough food in Venezuela. And you can wonder, how do people survive? Well, they get skinny, and they do things. Everybody has an extra job. I think people call that a side hustle. But for that extra job, they do whatever they can do. They might have a job ironing shirts for somebody. They might sell sandwiches on the street or coffee or apples or something. Everyone has to do something to keep a little bit of cash flowing into their pockets so they can survive. And that's just the way it is. When conditions are so absolutely difficult, people have to do something. And they put a little time and a little energy into whatever they do to earn an extra a little bit of dollars. Venezuelan dollars, yeah. So what would people do in this country? I don't know, but if it was that poverty-stricken, I don't think you would have people running through the streets rioting like they are nowadays. Life would get quieter. I don't think there would be riots in Venezuela anyway, because I think any rioter would be shot on sight. See, the world outside of the United States is a much different place than where we live. It's just so very different. And still, there is lots of conflict. It just doesn't take the form that it does in this United States. So, there are border conflicts all over the world. That is just one of the forms of conflict. But it doesn't turn into a shooting war in general. But let me tell you about the border conflict between India and China. You might remember, was it 2-3 weeks ago? Troops from each side of the border of India and China, they got into a brawl, a big old fight, way up in the Himalayan mountains at 14,000 feet of elevation. And then it just happened again, not even a week ago. And somehow there is a tradition among these border troops that they can clash, but they cannot use their guns. They cannot shoot at each other. So, if you recall those couple of weeks ago, that first clash involved the troops using whatever they had handy, but no guns. And the second, going back to that first clash, there were tens of troops involved on each side. And the second clash that just happened involved hundreds of troops on each side. And now, just in these last few days, both sides have been sending thousands of troops into that same area. And they're sending equipment as well. So you just kind of have to wonder what'll happen next. And yes, only God knows. But how could we not wonder if there was going to be some great big conflict? Would a war develop between the two most populous nations of the world? China and India, they are so extremely close to equal in population. They both have 1.3 billion people. 1.3 billion with a B, people. So I wonder what's going to happen. What is going to happen? You know that countries very often do not play fair, and China is one of those countries that does not play fair. I mean, you look at what they've done with trade deals, certainly with the United States and certainly with other countries as well. You can also look at what else China does. It harvests organs from the Falun Gong religious people, the Muslim Uyghur religious people, and the Christians. And that seems to be because the communist Chinese government wants to terminate any group that is not strictly loyal to China's leadership. And so it is trying to eliminate those groups. One of those ways it does that is to literally take their organs out of their bodies. China does not play fair. The people in Africa are also saying that. Let's see, there's 54 African countries, and 40 of those countries have received free gifts from China. And that gift is often enough a government building or lots of government buildings. And they are constructed by a Chinese company with Chinese workers and everything else. Now, those countries are glad to get the government buildings. It might be a house for the president, a house for the prime minister, a house for the parliament, or for other government officials, or a government building. It's a nice gift, wouldn't you say? Yes, it is a nice gift. But here is what is being reported by many of those African countries, that they did receive a gift of one of those, or lots of those, free buildings constructed by that Chinese firm. And now they are finding that there are multiple hidden listening devices in those buildings. Microphones all over. That was reported out of the Heritage Report magazine in May 20th by the senior policy analyst, Robert Mazervi. And do not be surprised by this kind of activity, because it goes on in the world. It goes on all over the world. That's just the way the world operates. As there is a struggle for power in the world, yes, it's a struggle. Even in our very own country, we are having struggles for power. Aren't we, though? Many people understand this to be a struggle between left and right, or anarchists versus the establishment of government or churches or anything else. So I suppose that you could use a number of common terms and you would be correct when you call it a power struggle, but there are always underlying matters which just don't show themselves. And that is what was on my mind when I was reading that Ephesians 6:10 and the following about the battle between good and evil, the battle between, well, in other parts of the Bible, it tells you it's that battle between God and Satan and his powers of darkness. The battle is, if the real battle is for our souls, and where will we spend eternity? In heaven or in hell? So let's remember to choose heaven, and then let us live our life like we mean that choice. There are Bible passages that describe Satan as a thief who came to steal, kill, and destroy. That's John 10:10. And if you look at the world, you can easily see that there is a battle between good and evil, or between God and the powers of darkness. It seems like the powers of darkness these days are running wild through too many streets. Yeah. And the damage is, wow, it's a lot. A lot of things are getting destroyed. And they do this destruction, but they say they are protesting. Well, maybe that's how they see it, but an awful lot of rioting is going on and things are getting broken. Stores are getting broken into and merchandise is getting stolen. Stores are being set on fire. Cars are being overturned and set on fire. Well, we can wonder what'll happen next. And there's plenty of people who talk about it. They look at what'll happen next. But we can't really predict it. Do you think we can predict it? Well, some people think so. Some people see the future predictions in the Bible. And you can, yes, you can make that a good examination and discussion. Actually, we can evaluate a lot of things going on in our society and recognize that there are patterns which the Bible tells us that are going on nowadays right in our neighborhood, our country, our neighboring countries and the world. Yes, there are patterns. But to try to understand it, it's not always such an easy thing to do. Sometimes it's not easy at all, but don't we want to try to look, try to understand, try to evaluate what is going on? When we hear things over and over in the news, it is good to evaluate it. It's also good to look at other, I guess you would call it, minority news stations and see what they report on. Because there's a lot of people with a lot of different ideas, and you get to evaluate what you hear and see on the news and make sure that it lines up with what is reasonable. Can you remember what you saw a few years back, and does that make sense for what you're seeing today? There ought to be a pattern that you can detect. There is a progression of events, and it's logical for each one of us to look at the events and try to understand what is going on. Try to discover what is true, what is truly going on. And it does take a process. It takes real thinking and remembering what you see. It's not easy. It's not. But if you want to try to discover what is going on, what is the truth, you do have to look deeper at the news and what is going on. You just have to. And sometimes you have to be in the right place at the right time to see something different from what you're told. It happens. You have to be observant. A long time ago, 1975, I was in London. I was there for 12 days, and there were some kind of big marches or demonstrations going on. And I found out that, in hindsight, you could find out that there were bigger marches that happened before and after that. But at that time, the newspapers in London were showing you pictures and writing articles in the news about what was going on. And even those relatively small demonstrations and marches, they were kind of big for the time. But let me tell you my little story. See, at that time, I was a young man looking around to see what London was about, England was about, and I was riding on their underground system, their mass transit system. And mostly I was looking around to see the sights of London. And so I was in the downtown areas, the tourist areas, and, well, at one point, there I was on their underground transportation system, and I was standing near the doors, and a very well-dressed, immaculately dressed man in his 30s, he came in and sat down. He got comfortable, and I just was kind of looking around at the people, and he opened a sealed, nondescript, large manila envelope. Yeah, you kind of wonder about something like that, don't you? Well, he read through the whole thing, and me being a young man, I was, and my eyes were good, so I could read it over his shoulder. And I did. I read it at the same time he did. It was about 10 pages, 10, 12 pages of typewritten report. And he read it, I read it, and he put it back into the envelope and then simply looked out the window. The window, because the underground transportation in London is underground for the downtown parts. But as you go into the suburbs, it becomes an above-ground train. So it started on the outskirts of London, where I and he were on the train, and then it went to the suburbs. So as I traveled, I wondered about what I read. I wondered about what should I do. And I was a young man at the time, and I just didn't really know what to do. I wanted to do the right thing, but I struggled with trying to figure it out what to do. But let me tell you about the report. The report was a detailed report that described what would happen at an event 2 weeks in the future. It was about how there would be demonstrators that would be organized, and they would enter shopping area where there would be, at first there would be 8 to 10 women with baby strollers. They would be in front, and there would be other women behind those women with the strollers, and they would distract the police with questions or asking for directions. And the next would be the young men with posters and leaflets. They would post the posters on store windows, which they passed by, and hand out the leaflets. And so that was kind of interesting to see how it was actually a planned demonstration, even though the newspapers said that these were spontaneous demonstrations. So it gave me another idea, especially as I reflected on it over a little time, to see how the demonstrations were really completely orchestrated. Let's see. After the people with the leaflets and the posters, there would come 150 or more people carrying banners and signs, and they would be chanting slogans or a worker-related song. So I read about it in that report, and that came to mind nowadays because we listen to the news and we hear how things are going on in the riots and, well, you might call them demonstrations, the demonstrations in this country. And you hear reports about everything, how just people are so unhappy, or you hear about organized groups of, organized groups of young men who unloaded a pallet of bricks from a trailer and left them in a strategic location for those riotous demonstrators to throw. So what do you think happened? Is that true? Could that be true? The same report told of cases of water bottles being left for the demonstrators in strategic locations. You just wonder about all of it. Was that water for drinking or for throwing? Well, I don't know, but you have to just look and do your best to understand what is logical in those cases. What is really going on? Isn't that what we wonder? Oh, yes, it is. We do wonder. Did you hear about those two well-dressed attorneys who were driving around in New York City handing out ready-made, ready-to-be-used Molotov cocktails? Yes, Molotov cocktails. Where they just light them and throw them, and all of a sudden you have fire someplace? Well, those two well-dressed attorneys were stopped by the police, and it was discovered that they worked for a New York law firm, and you didn't hear much more than that, just that it happened, but we can use our imagination and kind of think about what happened and why they were doing it. Civil disobedience. That reminds me of the demonstrators. So you see, if you see this on the news too, the demonstrators in New York cities that were showing their arms, I'm sure they were asked, because on their arms was written in indelible ink a phone number of a specific attorney who they were to call if they were arrested and put in jail. And that attorney would be prepared to bail them out. So, yeah, there are patterns, and most of us don't hear what really goes on. And even if we hear it, we have to wonder if it's really true. But when you hear enough of the reports over time, you believe things a little more. So there is a power struggle. That's kind of where I started with this, that there is a battle between powers and principalities, Ephesians 6, 10 and following. So this is just an example of how those power struggles are working. The demonstrators are part of that. The anarchists are a part of it. And there is an organization to things. Maybe you've heard, I have, that the demonstrators that are arrested often come from another city. They're not local people. The percentage is often 80%, more or less, and it goes up to 95% of people who did not live in that city or that area in which they were arrested. 95 is the top, and 40% is the low. So somewhere in between there, you can just see that there's a lot of people demonstrating who do not live locally. So it just shows me that we don't live in ordinary times, and that's the lesson that I would take from this, that there are things going on that we can only guess about. But either use your rational mind to think on things, or look at history, and that's rational, or you can look at the Bible to see what the lessons are. There's a lot of things going on, and we just don't tend to pay enough attention to what is going on. We don't listen. People don't listen. Why? I think it's because most people listen to the music on their radio as they drive, and then they get home and they listen to a movie, television, or play a game. And so most people really are not paying attention to what is going on around them, especially not looking critically. So I guess we just have to accept that fact that there are lots of people who simply will not see what is going on around them. And then how do you expect the public to make informed decisions if they don't know? They don't know what's happening and the deceptions that are going on. I think the best thing we can do is tell them about it, talk about it. You have to just recognize that different people have a different worldview. What is yours? Here's an example of two different worldviews. Now, President Trump just days ago went to St. John's Church in the Capitol Mall, and the park police disbanded the crowd half an hour before curfew. So what do you say about that? Was it good that President Trump went to church, or was it bad that the people had to be disbanded half an hour early? Well, everybody has a different opinion. And I do notice that there are the church people, the two Episcopalian bishops, they were outraged about this, that the crowd was, disrupted. And a local Catholic archbishop and two senators also were very unhappy that the crowd was disrupted so that President Trump could go to church. Well, what is your worldview? I don't know, but I bring it up as an example of what was it good? Was it good that he went to church or not? I don't know. But I think that we can pray about so much that is going on and pray to make decisions or have understanding and then make decisions. There's a lot going on these days. And the curfew that's going on with our National Guard and our military preparing to enforce that curfew, it's just a question. I don't know. There's so much opposition to this president. I just wonder about what will happen. Just for kind of fun, I kind of wonder, what if China were to attack the United States? Would the United States citizens blame Trump because Trump put tariffs on China? It's just an example of the extreme thinking that some of our United States citizens have. And by the way, China is spending billions and billions of dollars to upgrade and modernize their submarine fleet. Who knows what will happen? Our future is, in the United States, it's in a downward spiral, economically, socially, morally, and in relation to having that relation with God and having loving obedience to God. We are on a downward spiral. We can wonder, where will it end up? Well, I sure don't know, but I wonder about it. What kind of a country are we going to live in? I don't know. What does our future hold? There's so many different groups that have a different vision of the future. And that's why I was thinking about the worldview. What worldview do you want to uphold? Do you want to see in the future? It makes a difference. And what are you willing to support, to even speak about? But pray, what are you willing to pray about? For you, for your family, for others? Prayer is such an important part of what we must do as followers of Jesus Christ. But all this has a bearing on what happens in our country, the country that we live in. It's our country. So what do you want to go on here? Do you think that anarchy ought to go on? Anarchy. What is going on in our streets? Here's something that the anarchists want. They say they want to live in a world with no police and no military and no prisons, with no law and no money and no government and no power over one another person's. where communities make sure that everybody has what they need, where all borders are destroyed, where liberation begins, and where America dies. That is what is on a anarchist website as their code of principles. That really is tearing down everything. How can we survive if there's anything close to this? Well, I think we have to be observant to what's going on around us. How can we live where there is no, absolutely no order? Yeah, no police, no military, no law, no money, no government, no power over another person, and the communities take care of everybody. Where liberation begins, America dies. How can that be? How can they say they want that? Well, if that's their goal, you just have to wonder, is the Antichrist on the way? Yeah, you can see signs that the Antichrist is on the way. I think it's important to pay attention to what is going on in a historical sense in all societies. And that brings me to a historian, a Scottish historian by the name of Alexander Tytler. He made this observation about 250 years ago, that there was a roughly 200-year cycle to countries or empires, where typically the society starts out in bondage, and then it goes through this sequence. From bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependence, from dependence back into bondage. So you can look up that Scottish historian, Alexander Tytler, spelled T-Y-T-L-E-R. I just thought that was really good. And of course, you can listen again to christtoday.org. And you can listen again. But I just think it's intriguing that somebody could find that pattern. Patterns are interesting and patterns are good because it shows us what is coming our way. Well, if nothing changes. So that's one of the values of reading the Bible also. The Bible is full of patterns. And it gives us wisdom when we read the Bible. Oh, yes, we see the patterns. Well, I hope you do. That now, here's something I also see, patterns. I listen to a lot of people and evaluate what they have to say. Now, I'm going to briefly talk about prophetic people who I have heard in the last few decades, 20, 30 years ago mostly, 15 to 30 years ago. And I just have to qualify this because, yes, I listen, but I have a really hard time believing what I hear. I really don't. But still, I pay attention, and I like to hear what is said. So I'm going to tell you that those prophetic people made an impression on me, and I tried to think about what the commonalities were between them. What did they have to say that was uniform? So I kind of figured it out from what I could see as I listened to them. You know, prophetic people, I just have to say, you have to be so very careful because there's been plenty of prophetic people who claim that they have heard from God and then what they say does not come true. So I would say that about what I would say too. The only thing is this came from numerous prophetic people, and I put it together in a way where their message was consistently, oh, that's a lot of introduction, isn't it? That's because it kind of gets me. It talks in the general terms that these people have talked about our nation will go through a time of civil unrest and violence that will tear this country apart. And then there will be a great earthquake. Natural disasters will seem to be everywhere on a very great scale. And people would never have imagined that these things could actually happen to America. But there they are, natural disasters. Our country is in shambles. And we accept help from other countries. And they send their military here to help keep order. But then they refuse to leave and they occupy America. And because they were invited in the very beginning, see, we have had laws made that where we can, if we have trouble in this country, we do invite other countries' military and police to come and help us preserve order. That's done, for instance, through the United Nations. Our last president did strengthen that, one of those orders. Anyway, so the other countries come into the United States to help keep order, and God in the beginning does not give them consequences because we effectively agreed to it. So God doesn't do anything until they begin doing ungodly things, like processing Americans for meat. And then God responds to this abomination, and he does something which causes the foreign occupying military to leave. And nobody knows what that is in the prophetic circles, but something happens. Now, I have such a odd thing about talking about prophecy. I really don't want to believe it. I don't like to believe it, but there's some things going on that just get my attention, and I think about it. So that's what's going on right now with this message. It's not that I ever wanted to give it. I didn't think I would ever talk about it, but here I am talking about it. It's on my mind and heart because I see the things going on around us in this country. And like I said, I just generalized what I heard the other people say. I don't mean to say it's true. I don't know that it's true or false. I just mean that I heard it, and I've thought about it those many years ago. And so I'm telling you, take it or leave it. But it was on my heart today and mine today, so I talked about it. And I pray that you have discernment to try to understand if it means anything or nothing. I certainly do pray for people, a lot of people, and I pray for you that you have that discernment. Oh, yeah. A lot of things just kind of come up at the last minute, and we speak on things. That's what this was. It's a combination of prophetic testimony and the things that are going on around us today in the way of disorder, violence. So, the other thing that those prophetic people talked about was that there would be government systems that would work well and government systems that would completely fail. And our federal government would retreat into basically a mountain military fort. And we do have a couple of those, you know. They're well equipped with all sorts of good things. Just many, many things to keep us going and going and going. That might happen. I don't mean I know. I just mean it was said. Under what was said in this light, it was said that the city areas would be controlled and the country areas would get more and more hungry and also be more free than the city areas. So, some thoughts, and that's all they are. There's thoughts. You get to determine what they mean to you and, of course, pray about it. Because that's what we really have to depend on, our understanding that God gives us. We get a lot of it by reading the Bible. The Bible tells us so much. It tells us how to understand what is coming in the future. Yes, all of it. All of the Bible and all of the future. And the big thing is we want our eternity to be with Jesus in that heavenly place. So we want to be born again, like is told about in John chapter 3. And we want to believe in Jesus and belong to Jesus. Because Jesus is the way and the truth and the light. That's, and the life. That is John 14:6. And it continues that no man cometh to the Father except through Jesus. We want to make sure that our relation with Jesus is strong and enduring. So, I like the book of John. I think it has some wonderful things. John chapter 15 talks about being Jesus being our friend, and it talks about the commandment of Jesus to love one another as I have loved you. So that makes me think of love. And Matthew 22:37, the great commandment. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's what we do as Christians. Every day we renew that loving heart in us through Jesus Christ. And sometimes we really find it so helpful to read the Bible. Let me encourage you to do that. That guides us and gives us strength and protection. So yes, please do that. I do think about being prepared, and I don't really know quite for what, but I did mention what might be coming, so I think about what we all need, food and water. And I have a little pamphlet about that. If you would like to read that, just send me a stamped, self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927, and I'll get that right back to you. You can always listen to past broadcasts by going to www.christtoday.org, and that's all lowercase and no spaces. So I'm very glad you listened today, and may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.